Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There has been a significant increase in the number of Irish people seeking state help to avoid US deportation. At least 41 people have sought assistance this year so far, according to the Irish Times. John Foley is a Boston immigration lawyer who deals with these type of cases. Going to speak to him shortly. But all of these immigration issues are going on now as President Trump is set to fly into Scotland on Air Force One this Friday, where, despite it being referred to as a private visit, he is expected to meet with the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Scottish First Minister John Swinney. As with any presidential visit, formal or not, a huge security operation is being put in place. However, on Monday, it was revealed that the body that represents rank-and-file Scottish police is seeking legal advice regarding potential action over Police Scotland's operational plans for the visit. To hear more about these plans and the visit, I'm joined on the line by LBC reporter Henry Riley. Henry, good morning. What do we know about this at this stage about the itinerary?
Yes, well, it's a private visit, so very different from the state visit, which we have the honour of hosting in a couple of months, where Donald Trump will be coming back to the UK in September from the 17th to the 19th. This, though, very much about spending time on the golf course, and as you referenced as well, having a brief meeting with both Sir Keir Starmer and the Scottish First Minister, John Swinney, who's been pretty disparaging about Donald Trump. And I mean, when there were those scenes in the Oval Office between J.D. Vance, the vice president, President Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine, where it ended in a bit of an argument, to say the least, John Swinney said that the state visit should have been called off. And here you have, a few months later, he's actually going to have to meet and, I imagine, be cordial with Donald Trump. And he says that it's in the interests of Scotland that he does so. And what we know really is that Donald Trump's going to be sort of dividing his time between Turnberry and Aberdeen, the sort of sites where he has various golf courses. At some point, he'll meet Sir Keir Starmer. But yeah, 4-day private trip where the resource that the police will have to stump up is going to be pretty extraordinary.
What are their concerns?
Well, they have various concerns, and justifiably so. I mean, in terms of the sheer resource, if you look at the last state visit, for example, you had, I mean, nearly 7,000 police officers deployed to that specifically, which cost the Metropolitan Police in London £3.4 million. If you look at the last time he did a private visit, such as this President Trump, it ended up costing £14.2 million UK-wide. And if you hone in on Scotland there, I mean, Police Scotland had to deploy an extra 5,000 officers, and the UK Treasury had to help them with £5 million that time. And it seems like the Treasury, which, I mean, we sort of talk about Rachel Reeves and our Chancellor almost every day in the UK, and the sort of lack of money that we have, but they seem pretty reluctant to sort of dish the cash this time. And there's also various issues about the length of time they'll be working officers. The Police Federation, as you referenced, who represent the rank and file, saying that minimum health and safety's been breached. Officers will have to work multiple days in a row, 12-hour shifts without any break periods, in some cases 10 days in a row. And understandably, they're concerned about the well-being of officers.
It's not just from Wales and England that officers are going to be drawn in. The PSNI has told us that there are officers being requested or being sent over from Northern Ireland, but for operational reasons, they won't say how much. And this is, as you say, all ahead of a formal state visit in September, when the whole thing exercise is going to have to be replicated again.
Yes, of course. Then he'll be staying at Windsor Castle with King Charles. But you're right; that will still require a considerable resource. And actually, one of the conversations we've been having in the UK at the moment is in England, I should say specifically, is because of J.D. Vance now is visiting the UK as well in and amongst all of this. In August, he has announced that his family holiday is going to be spent in the Cotswolds in Oxfordshire, which is slightly peculiar for a man who's been pretty disparaging about the UK. I mean, he's at one point said we would quote some random country that hasn't fought a war in 40 years. He said that there was no free speech in England, and now he's deciding to live it up in the Cotswolds. All power to him, but there are concerns that there's going to be various protests at that as well. So we seem to be sort of the home of MAGA America at the moment.
One would hope that a few rounds of golf in sunny Scotland might mollify the president, but how are locals feeling about this visit, and what's the likelihood that he's going to be greeted by protests?
Well, last time, I mean, if you take Scotland in particular, there was a sort of bizarre spectacle when someone was sort of parachuting down, quite dangerously actually, from a plane when he was playing golf in Scotland, which was slightly bizarre. It said well below par, #StopTrump. And he was also booed during one of his games at Turnberry. I mean, I think, to be honest, this is factored in with President Trump. I think he knows, and perhaps even secretly quite likes, that people will gather simply by dint of him playing golf. I think those protests will certainly continue, not just on the state visit in September, not just on JD Vance's family holiday in August, but also this visit that's taking place on Friday, 4-day visit. I think if anyone gets a sniff of where he may be, and of course there are two locations where he'll definitely be some of that time, in Turnberry and Aberdeenshire, they will definitely be there protesting, definitely be there making their voices known.
Henry, thank you very much for that. Well, as I say, one can only hope that he will be mollified by a round of golf or two. Certainly, if you are amongst the undocumented Irish residents in the United States at the moment. I'm joined by Boston immigration lawyer John Foley, who deals with immigration and deportation cases. John, can you tell me about the type of cases of Irish people that you're dealing with at the moment who have overstayed their visa, and how they are being treated by the US authorities?
Well, most of the Irish that enter the United States come in on the visa waiver, or the ESTA program. And that allows them to come into the United States without the need of going to the consulate for an interview. They can come in for 90 days for tourist and business purposes, but they're not allowed to work. Now, the fine print on the legal paperwork that they sign online when they sign up for the visa program is that they are no longer have access to the U.S. judicial process. So if they overstay by more than 90 days, they can be removed from the U.S. without ever going in front of a judge. And that's where the majority of the Irish overstays are.
And is that what is happening? Are they being removed and put on a plane straight away, or are they ending up in places like this alligator Alcatraz in Florida?
Well, nobody gets removed really straight away. And the Irish are not really being targeted, but they are being picked up when other people who are being targeted get arrested. And it's pretty quick for somebody from Ireland. Your diplomats are very effective, and they're really on top of the immigration issues. The typical stay for somebody who is being removed back to Ireland would be about 3 to 4 weeks. Usually it takes the paperwork that amount of time to get through the system.
And where are they being held?
Well, they're being held all over the place. In the Massachusetts area, they're being held at county jails. It's not like the alligator Alcatraz. It's a facility where they are in a cell with other people. They're fed pretty well. They're being held in decent facilities. But there are going to be more. I mean, with this new big, beautiful bill, ICE now has $170 billion, $170 billion with a B, to scale up enforcement, detention, and deportation. So it's going to mean more arrests, many more arrests, and more Irish will be caught up in this American struggle.
Is there any way to avoid a jail stay? Can you volunteer to get on a plane at your own expense straight away?
Oh, sure. And that's what they're encouraging to do. The problem, for just focusing on the Irish, for example, if you overstay for more than a year, and many of them have, as soon as you depart, you're automatically banned from returning to the U.S. for 10 years. So that's when you hear about the Irish who are stuck there. They can't come home for, family events, funerals and weddings and the like. But they can leave at any time. But as soon as they depart, they'll be banned for 10 years.
And what about somebody who has overstayed by a matter of days? Is the penalty the same?
No. The penalty, there's no penalty if you overstay by up to 6 months, but you will be bounced from the program. But if you overstay from 6 months to a year, you're banned for 3 years. But anything over a year, it's that 10-year ban.
Okay. There is a number floating around as to how many undocumented Irish there are in the United States now of 10,000 people. That seems really rather modest to me. What do you make of it?
I was floored when I heard the number, but I've looked at a number of reports and I've seen numbers as low as 8,000 and as high as 15,000. Being from Boston, you know, the home of Irish America, I would have thought the number would be much, much higher. But I'll tell you, you know, the diplomats in D.C. and all of your visiting politicians, to their credit, they are always raising the plight of the Irish undocumented. But the reality is that there is nothing they can do to fix the problem. This is an American problem. It requires an American solution, but I just don't see any solution in the immediate future.
Is it possible that in the years since mass emigration by Irish people to the United States, that an awful lot of people have been able to regularize their situations through marriage or through work visa programs or whatever?
Yeah, well, once you overstay, you can't use a work program, but you can do it through immediate family connections. But that's very, very limited. You can marry a U.S. citizen and adjust your status. Or if you have children, and I have a number of these, if you have children born in the United States, as of now, they are still U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. Once those children turn 21, they can turn around and petition for their parents. So there are avenues of relief, but they're very, very limited.
Meanwhile, though, there are an awful lot of people stuck in that limbo of being afraid to board a plane and travel home for fear that they will never get back into the United States again. Is there anything that you can offer by way of reassurance to them, or do they just have to keep their heads down?
Well, there's not a lot anybody can do for them, immigration lawyers or politicians. I would tell them basically create a plan, you know, put in writing who will care for your children, maybe give somebody a power of attorney to work on your finances or run your business. And I would have an immigration lawyer's phone number on speed dial, because there's not much the immigration lawyer can do to get them out. But you don't want to be lost in the U.S. immigration system. You don't want to be sent to El Salvador or some country in Africa that you've never heard of. And there is going to be more of that in the days, weeks, and months ahead.
Good Lord, it's another kind of getting your affairs in order, isn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. There's something new that's coming out as part of this big bill as well, and it's going to affect the Irish. Starting in October, the U.S. will begin charging a new $250 visa integrity fee for most non-immigrant visas. So that's going to include F1 students, people who use the B visa for tourist reasons, and most work visas. It will not apply to the visa waiver or the ESTA program.
When you say an integrity fee, I presume that that's non-refundable. It's an administrative fee.
The fee is, it could be refunded, but they have not put in writing how they are going to do that refund. I would be advising my clients not to hold their breath waiting for Donald Trump to pay them back.
Okay. John Foley, Boston immigration lawyer, thank you very much for talking to us. Let's take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp, 0870 32 32 32.